You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and like the dude just said, just plain right. Well, it's Friday. Friday, and it's 2.07 PM. Opportunity to do some cool things in my day. I just know I have, and I've been blessed. I've been around the world a bit. I've jumped out of perfectly good airplanes, hiked the Continental Divide. I've been to war twice. I got a few T-shirts, some scars, and a whole bunch of memories. One of my best experiences in the military was getting the opportunity to attend the U.S. Army Pathfinder course at Fort Benning, Georgia. I may have told this before. If I have, forgive me, just stay with me. I say it was one of my best experiences. It was also one of my worst, no doubt. So if you're not familiar, being trained to be a Pathfinder means you have a skill set that allows you to be first on the ground, to set up the drop zones or the DZs, or the helicopter landing zones, the HLZs. You learn how to sling load equipment. You learn the basics of air traffic control so you can call for aircraft, especially rotary wing aircraft, and you can direct their movements in the air over an operation. In training, you set up the drop zones as part of the drop zone support team. You learn how to measure and mark the ground to receive paratroopers and supply drops. You gauge the winds and the weather and the overall conditions for paratroopers so they can hit the DZ at the right time on target. Pathfinder school is hard to get into. And it was somewhat physically demanding, but it was also the place where I realized for the first time that all those instances where I complained in high school that no one would ever have to use algebra in real life, I was just wrong. If I wanted to know whether a paratrooper had a chance to land in the right spot on my DZ, I had to calculate a formula based on wind drift and velocity of the aircraft, the space available on the ground, and put that trooper out of the bird in one place so they could effectively drift to the right place. And there were plenty of practical exams for weeks in which we had to prove hands-on that we could apply what we were learning and be graded by an expert, an extremely, by the way, extremely professional Pathfinder instructor, some of the best I've ever had. Well, all this went on for weeks so that we could return to our units and do the things that I just described, and then also have the honor of wearing one of the coolest badges the Army has, the Pathfinder badge. It's a gold torch with a red flame and a large wing branching off to the right. But aside from the training and the practical applications, there were also some major written tests, filled with facts and figures and aircraft sizes and drop speeds and the width of rotors on a helicopter and the size of drop zones, the calculations of everything. Real tests with real passing requirements. So myself and one of the senior NCOs in my unit, we rented an apartment off post. We studied, we slept, we studied more. But on one particular morning where we were supposed to have an exam on helicopter landing zones, one of the biggest exams of the entire course, we awoke to find that the alarm clock in my room had not gone off and we had missed first formation. Oh my gosh. This is an offense that could potentially have meant being kicked out of the course. It was awful. Suffice to say, we boogied down to Pathfinder branch and I was told in no uncertain terms this was a conduct violation that carried potentially heavy penalties. And since I was an officer, a very junior officer at the time, I was a lieutenant, I would have to report to the battalion headquarters immediately for counseling. Oh my gosh. So I went down to headquarters feeling like I could throw up. I will never forget sitting in the orderly room waiting. And then I heard the voice somewhere down the hall behind a closed door. Where is he? And the sound of spit-shine jump boots making a beeline down the hallway to my location, coming at me with the intensity of a Comanche warrior. This captain with starch fatigues and all the badges and a high and tight haircut. He's like threw open the door and glared at me and yelled, "Are you Williams?" I jumped to my feet and said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Follow me." And he took off back down the hallway. We got to his office, whereupon he commenced to chew me up one side and down the other. Man, I'm telling you, he told me things about my family heritage that I had never even heard before. Me standing there at parade rest with my eyes straight ahead. And after several minutes of this, he just paused and said, "All right, you got to go see the XO now, and you better stay humble." And I'm thinking to myself, there's more? Well, I was shown down the hall to a major's office, where I presented myself formally in front of his desk and I was ignored for a good 30 or 45 seconds, which felt like an hour. He finally stood up and stared at me and said, "Tell me what happened." And I responded, "Sir, I don't have an excuse. I just don't recall hearing the alarm and missed first formation and therefore missed the HLZ exam." He just stood there staring at me, sort of sizing me up. Then he started looking at what I believe was my course record. He had the papers in his hands. And then, and I will never forget this, he lightened up and he simply looked at me and said, "Yeah, I did that once." And I thought I would pass out from relief, but he went on to say that he was not going to kick me out. He could recognize my coursework was solid to that point, and he recognized I was in an airborne unit, but, and here's the but, I was to return to my class and my grades had to stay at or above a normal level for the remainder of the course. And one particular test, the same one on HLZs, on the cumulative final exam, he was going to require that I pass that one with 100%. And if I didn't hit those marks, the same marks that he just set, I would not be allowed to graduate. So I saluted, I thanked him as profusely as decorum would allow, and I beat it back to class. And yes, to folks, just so you know, I did graduate. But here's my point. That major gave me, as a shave-tailed lieutenant, a firm measure of grace. But that grace did not come without consequences. You see, grace and consequences, they can still go hand in hand, and too many people overlook that fact. Too often in today's society, people want the grace, but they don't want to face the fact that the consequences of their actions may still have to be played out. They don't want to face the fact that in order to receive the grace, there might be something of an expectation, if you will. Grace can be free, like the grace we receive for our faith in Jesus Christ. But what I'm saying is this, it does not excuse behavior. It allows for grace, but the behavior must also need to be modified. Well, here's the deal. Here's what sparked this story while I was watching yesterday, as President Biden had quite the dog and pony show of awarding no less than 17 people at one time with the highest honor that a president can bestow on a civilian, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. If you're not familiar, the Presidential Medal of Freedom is an award bestowed by the President of the United States to recognize people who have made, and here's the quote, an especially meritorious contribution to the security or national interests of the United States, world peace, cultural or other significant public or private endeavors. I mean, listen, past awardees include people like Mother Teresa and Rosa Parks and Duke Ellington and Tiger Woods and Rush Limbaugh. There has never been a more liberally slanted mass award ceremony that has cheapened the value of an award than what I saw yesterday. Now, I've seen the list. There were several of them that were deserving, like Alabama's Fred Gray, the civil rights activist. He was there. I get it. But then he gave the medal, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, to none other than Megan Rapinoe. Do you remember her? The captain of the U.S. women's soccer team, the one who bullied her teammates to all take a knee when the national anthem was played at the award ceremony as they represented our nation abroad. You know, the activist, the LGBTQ activist with the purple hair who regularly yells profanity during her public appearances and has stated publicly that she believes that transgender men should be allowed to compete against women and vice versa. The same advocate who alienated many by being put on Subway commercials, causing quite an uproar, who tweeted out anti-Asian tweets in the past but was never held to account like some people are. That Megan Rapinoe just received the highest award available to be given to a civilian for her meritorious contributions to culture and to the United States. The same United States for whose anthem she refused to stand. All of that egregious behavior, that can be forgivable. She can be extended grace like anyone else. She deserves grace where it can be given. But with grace, there can and should be consequences. The consequence for me at Pathfinder School was I had better toe the line and do more than what was expected in order to graduate. The consequence here from Megan Rapinoe is she should have been disallowed to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That is a badge she did not earn. That is a badge she has done nothing to recover her past behaviors from to warrant standing next to all the others who have truly done things worthy of note, to be listed on the same page as people like Rosa Parks and Sister Teresa. You see, grace and consequences. Liberals too often believe the end justifies the means and the means should be rewarded simply because. Well, yesterday's Presidential Medal of Freedom ceremony, it became like nothing more than a bunch of participation trophies at a Little League banquet. Grace and consequences. One without the other can sometimes leave it hollow. Megan Rapinoe had better stand next time the anthem is played or she ought to give that medal back. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, that was heartfelt, but and I know I ran about a minute long, but still, I'm just telling you, kneel for the anthem and then be given the Presidential Medal of Freedom. What in God's name? Does Joe Biden, who is advising this man? And who picked this list? And how'd she get on it? It infuriates me. It cheapens the award. We've got to do better. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.